in 1 Timothy. And then we're kind of going to go a little bit all over from there. But excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to read verse 16. Y'all heard of John 3:16. This is 1 Timothy 3:16. It's still good, too. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Kind of tentatively entitled this, basically, Jesus Christ is my God. I don't know why I got this in my head, I just did, and I couldn't get rid of it. So, and I broke it down into two parts. The first part is Jesus Christ is God. Now, I cannot prove this to anyone. I cannot prove that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God to any person. I can show in the scriptures that it states Jesus Christ is God, but that's not proof. Just talk to people who've read the Bible. It's not proof. I can show what Jesus Christ did in the scriptures, and I have shown what he has done in the scriptures. And I've shown what Jesus Christ has done in the scriptures to people who say they believe the Bible. And usually I get one of two answers. One is, that's not right. The other one is, even though you read it to them or they read it themselves, they say, well, I don't believe that. It's kind of hard to prove anything. Actually, it's impossible. Especially if you read John 6 to them. About no man can come to God unless God does something for him. That's the one they tell you, I don't believe that. And sometimes I say, that's right, I know you don't. It's obvious. It comes out. Because I was talking to people about irresistible grace back before I ever heard the term irresistible grace. Didn't know what it was, did we, Walter? We had a preacher come up to us at a church that Walter and I were going to. I'd come in from the outside. I was the troublemaker.
You always have been.
I always have been. It's true. That's true. In one way or another. But it's a good way now as far as I'm concerned. Sometimes it was just troubles for trouble's sake. But I don't try not to do that anymore. But he sat down right in front of me. He turned around because I'd give him some sermons from Spurgeon. And he turned right around. He looked at me. He said, you know, Spurgeon was a four-pointer. And I said, okay. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how many. We didn't know how many points there were. We didn't know there were points. Of course, the one they were wanting to leave out was limited atonement. That's always the point that gets left out when you go 4 points. But without the limited atonement, or the you can't have irresistible grace. Anyway. I told this to a lot of people, and to my knowledge, I found two people who believed it. One's Debbie, and the other's Walter, and that was about it. Now, I didn't know Roy or Paul. I mean, I knew them, but I hadn't really talked to them. I'd been talking to Walter. Chad and Pam, I knew them, but I hadn't talked to them. And maybe Walter had been. He can't keep his mouth shut some days. But then Walter started talking about it. And a fella got up, I think was it a Sunday night, and he was actually preaching from John, talking about the book of John, and he had read scripture, and he was talking about basically that God gave to Christ those people who believed. He gave them to them when they believed. And I was in the audience, and I shook my head. I was bad for doing that. And he went off from the pulpit. He went off a little bit. And I told him, I said, no, it says that they were chosen in the past. It says it in the past tense. Now, I didn't back up two verses on the net, on the last page where it did say that. But that fella knew that.
Yeah,
he knew it. But anyhow, a near riot almost broke out. There was shouts from other parts of the congregation. And you come to find out you can't prove Jesus Christ is God. Earl used to say he wished he could open up people's head and pour in the knowledge. I know the feeling, but it don't happen. But the Bible is clear. And the Bible is true. God was manifest in the flesh. Where does the story of Jesus Christ begin? It begins in the beginning. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What's that mean? The Word was in the beginning. Whoever this Word is, he's God. This Word made the world and everything else. That was made. By golly, that sounds like God. It states it in Him. This Word was life and light. In Him was life and light. The Word is a person. The true light is a person. All things were made by Him. John the Baptist bore witness of the light. Who's a person? He was in the world that He made, and the world knew Him not. This Word, this life, this light is a person. Now, if you drop down to John 1:14, you'll see this. Now, in between there, there's a little bit more of that irresistible grace, but I'm not going into that right now. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only one who was God and made flesh and dwelt among us is Jesus Christ. I was afraid something fell out. It's okay. Philippians 2 and 6, Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God. Now, if that bothers you, if you don't like it, that's too bad. It's all right. You can deny it if you so please, because lots of people do. Been there, done that. Seen it. Didn't buy the t-shirt, though. And if you don't like it, it's really kind of too bad because I don't have anything else to tell you. I can't prove Jesus Christ is God, but I can show what the scriptures show. I can tell you what the scriptures state. And the scriptures state that Jesus Christ is God. And you will believe it if he's given you life. This is the truth of Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God manifest in the flesh. Christ himself said it, I and my Father are one. It's in John 10:30. What happened right after that? Everybody praised God. Not exactly. There was a big joyful shout of hallelujah. They took up stones to stone him. He said, I and my Father are one. And they picked up rocks and were going to kill him with it. They didn't pick up stones to teach him a lesson. You picked up rocks and you stoned people until they died. Give me the old time religion. He looked at him and said, for what good work do you stone me? For what good work do you stone me? He said, we don't stone you for a good work. We stone you because you're a man. And you're making yourself equal with God. And that's good because they knew exactly what he was saying. Because that's what Christ said. And that's exactly what he meant. And I kind of know the feeling. Because I'm just glad there were no rocks in that church that night we were in there, Walter. Because they might have started chucking them instead of talking. I didn't hear the fella at the back saying, let's hang them from a tree. Walter heard that. At the time, it didn't bother me. I was disappointed. Christ asked him. He said, no, we don't stone you for a good work. We're stoning you for what you said. You made yourself equal with God. I and my Father are one. These three agree in one, Father, Son, and Spirit. These three are one. But the darkness doesn't comprehend the light. And I'm sorry to say, it's no different today. Jesus Christ is God. He himself gives life to as many as the Father gave him. Past tense. Gave him. And that's past tense all the way back to the before the foundation of the world. And they live, and they come to him. But those in darkness never comprehend the light. So the scripture is clear. Jesus Christ is God. He said he was God. His works, his word, all agree. Now the second part is, Jesus Christ is my God. And I hereby say, and I fervently declare, to the best of my ability, that Jesus Christ is my God. I believe that the Word was with God and was God and is God. I believe that he made everything that was made. I believe that he was made flesh. I believe that he is life. And I put a capital L there, and my spell check keeps kicking on. I believe that he is light. I believe that he is love. I believe that he gave me life, and because of him giving me life, I believe that he is Lord. I believe him. My hope is in him. My life is in him. Everything is in him. Walter, what is it? In whom? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's all in him. I believed him going on now. It's about 27 years ago. And I believe him now. I got to thinking back the first 23 years of my life. I didn't believe him. And it was easy because the first 23 years of my life, I didn't know him. It's easy to not know him when you've never heard of him or heard from him. Matter of fact, no one will know him until they hear from him. Paul teaches this plainly. It's in Romans 3. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. For 23 years, I did not understand. I didn't understand that I was not righteous. I thought I was a pretty good fella. I thought I was better than most. But it was okay because I didn't know what righteous meant either. I'd heard Bible stories in Sunday school and other things. Heard about the resurrection at Easter. Heard about the baby Jesus at Christmas. I heard all kinds of things. Daniel in the lion's den. But I didn't understand. And to be honest, at the time, I didn't care. I was there because Mom made me be there. That's why I was there. Dad, you can kind of get by sometimes, but Mom was kind of tough that way. And Mom was always there. As Earl used to say also, I had no interest. I had no interest in it. I'd watch Bible cartoon if there wasn't nothing else on. But see, they was always trying to teach you a lesson. Be moral or do something or whatever. My mom used to listen to the Florida Boys. I told Walter this on the TV. Sunday mornings before church, you'd turn on the Gospel Jubilee. And I'd tune it out. I have no idea what they sang, whether it was good or not. I kind of doubt it since it was on television, but I have general doubts about what's on television overall. But she liked the Florida Boys. That's all I know. And she turned that on, and if I sat there, I was reading a book or something else. It didn't matter. But then something changed. More to the point, someone changed. And it was me. And I can't tell you exactly when. I can't tell you how. Well, I can tell you how, sort of. But I think it was in 1982. If not, it was maybe late 81. I do know in 1982, that's how I remember it, was 27 years ago, I began to get and to have an interest in the things of God. I began to think that he might really exist. And I began to get afraid that maybe he might really exist. I began to read the Bible. But what was strange about that was I actually did seem to understand a little bit about it as I read it. Not much, but more than I used to. And I had an interest in finding out what was in there. And that was new. But I did begin to understand a little bit of the scriptures. Now it states plainly that none understand. But I was starting to understand. Matter of fact, I understood enough to think I was in real trouble. I was afraid, you know, like that leopard who can't change his spots and the Ethiopian who can't change his skin. So are you who are accustomed to doing evil. If the leopard can change his spots, then you are accustomed to doing evil, you can do good. There's none good. No, not one. I was beginning to understand what that meant. It meant me. That's what it meant. There's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. That was me. I didn't know you. But anybody else I knew, it didn't matter. That was me. You know, it states, you know, we did not receive again the spirit of bondage unto fear. That's where I was. There is a spirit of bondage unto fear. I was afraid Jesus Christ was real, that God was real, and the Holy Spirit was real. I found out that I was right. God is real, Jesus Christ is real, and the Holy Spirit is real. And you know what? I was more afraid. This was not a comfort at that time. I discovered Jesus Christ was real and that Jesus Christ was God. And I thought I discovered it. I found this out. But you read later and understand now, this is what's called revelation. It comes from God. It didn't come from man. It didn't come from me. Now I know what happened to me. Now I know what Jesus Christ did for me. It is true that none seeketh after God. But Walter read it a couple weeks ago. Because it is true that Jesus Christ is found of those that seek him not. I like that. That is a beautiful piece of scripture. Paul even thought so because he quoted it in Romans 10, verse 20. But Esaias is very bold, saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest, made known unto them that asked not after me. I fit in there. That's where I was. That was me. I can identify with that group. I can identify with that work. I understood that scripture, Mason. No, there's none that understandeth. I understood that when I read it. And you know how you understand? Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. As Luke 24 and verse 45, Jesus Christ did it. There is none that understands, but there are those whose understanding is opened by him. I was a dead sinner. I was not righteous. I was not good. I was not seeking him, but I found him. How? The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love from the beginning. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And there's more. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood dead, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, I had to say it twice, live. And you remember now, back in the first chapter of John, this word is life. Guess what Christ Jesus said about that? For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Life. Christ makes alive and Christ draws men. Does he quicken all people? No. Does he quicken all the Father has gave to him? Yes. Jesus Christ makes alive whomever he will. Where does this lead? Where did I go from here in 1982? It led me to believe him. This led me to trust him. I believed that Jesus Christ was God. In 1982, I confessed him to be God. I confessed him to be Lord then, and I still do today. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. The Romans Road, they call it. But they'll leave out the first part of all that stuff. This is not a one-time thing. The word confess is written in the present tense. Not the past tense. There's a lot of people out there that confessed. I made a decision so and so years ago. Well, I did too. And I'm still making it today. If you still confess, I confessed him to be Lord in 1982. I confess him to be Lord here in 2009. And Lord willing, I will confess him until I die or he comes again, whichever comes first. By his grace, I will confess him. He is my God. He is my hope. He is my Lord. He has made unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I remember what and where I was. But to be honest with you, it seems like another life. It's because it was. Actually, it was before life. But it does. It seems like a whole nother person at that time. And when I think back to those times, I'm ashamed. And to be honest, I'm still ashamed of me now, some days. But I'm not ashamed of him. I've doubted myself, but I don't doubt him. I don't doubt him, I don't doubt his work, and I know that his work shall be done just as he said it would. Whether it includes me or not, his will be done. And I like that way of saying it. It's not his will be done. His will be done now and forever. But I'm not ashamed of him. Jesus Christ brought me to a special place. He brought me here, where I am today. And I wish I could express what he has done for me. Life from death. Knowledge from ignorance. Light from darkness. But I don't know how to adequately, I can even say it. I don't know how to tell you what he's done. But it's okay. Because if you know him, you've been through the same thing. If you know him, you've been through the same thing. Because God doesn't change. There is a spirit of bondage unto fear, and then there is the spirit of adoption, which comes after, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, God. I don't want to sound cocky or anything, but God's my Father. I'm a son of God. And it makes me feel awfully good, and it might make me look cocky. I don't know, and I don't care, because it's true. I'm a son of God, and I am so tickled with that I can't hardly stand it some days. I found these words, and I like them. Jesus Christ is my God. His words, I like. What people say about him that's true according to his word, I like. And I want to perform them. I aspire to speak them as true. These words here, I want to speak these words. They are the words of John the Baptist. He was speaking of Jesus Christ, and he said, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." I want to be able to say those words truly. This is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. His words are true. Hear him. Don't worry about me. Hear him. And believe him. And trust him. And hope in him. For in him is eternal life. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for being in this place, this time. we are blessed by your words, by your presence, by what you have done for us and to us. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory and thank you until you come again. And in Christ's name we ask, amen.